Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
Jesus got up long before dawn and went to a lonely place to pray. The night before, you had been working, Jesus, curing Peter's mother-in-law, casting out demons, healing people who were sick, giving words of encouragement, perhaps, till late at night. And then, instead of having a sleep in, although at times, Lord, we see you when you're traveling, you're very tired, so tired that you can even fall asleep in a boat in stormy seas, you're just exhausted. But you give us example that you, in the midst of so much activity, give time to prayer. Getting up before dawn to go to a lonely place to pray. And you give us example that we should follow. I remember a little boy when he was in year three being cheeky. Because when I said, we have to be like Jesus, he put his hand up and said, how is that possible? Jesus worked miracles. I can't do miracles. I can't follow Jesus. You know, it's not quite in that respect, you know. As Jesus is a man, as you are, Lord, truly a man, you give us example to follow. You're in dialogue with the Father. You call God Father. And because we have been baptized, because we are children of God, we too call God Father. As taught by you, Lord, as commanded by you, Lord, we dare to say, Our Father. And we speak to God as to a Father. Is that how we pray? Do we make prayer our priority, the first thing that we do in the day? What a wonderful way to start the day, to get out of bed. That's a first, to actually get out of bed. Maybe even that's not even a first. You need to look at the prequel, to go to bed. That's perhaps, you know, the real battle, getting to bed, because we spend way too much time mucking around. And the more tired we are, the more we want to compensate ourselves by looking at TV or reading something or just playing with things in our room. Silly things. I know, unfortunately, because of time differences, that the Pope tends to tweet at about 10 p.m. And all the best resolutions of getting to bed, and then the Pope's tweeted something, and then, you know, all these people are making comments, and I feel I need to respond. Anyhow, that's the problem. That's the problem. And, you know, and again, another night, you know, without as much sleep as should be the case, as we need. But if we go to bed late, of course, it's so much more difficult to get up early the next morning, still less before dawn. But when we are with your help, Lord, always with your help, prepared to actually go to bed and go to sleep, and we wake up through the night, but praying, falling asleep again with prayer, when we wake up in the morning and we dedicate our day, Lord, to you, and we get out of bed when the alarm calls us to, we don't hit snooze. That's one of the greatest obstacles, perhaps, to our really starting the day, is becoming friends with the snooze button. I know one fellow, I always remind him of this to his great embarrassment, he became so accustomed to the snooze button that the day he really did have to get up early in the morning to catch a plane, he missed it, because when the alarm went, he just hit snooze. We get out of bed, that first battle, the real battle. We get changed, we shower, do those things, but then we dedicate the first part of our day to prayer. Other people have their own routine. They go for a walk, they go to the gym, they go cycling. we pray. In imitation, Lord, of your own life as a man. Dedicating that time to God. And then we're able to make resolutions that will change our day. We don't simply say prayers. People talk about doing their prayers in the plural. I've said my prayers. Well, vocal prayer is always important. But our lips have to accompany our mind. Many times our mind really has to accompany our lips. Mental prayer, even our vocal prayer in a sense, should be mental prayer, contemplative prayer. Our attendance at Holy Mass should be contemplative prayer. We should pray the Mass. And we are able to do so when we spend time at the beginning of the day in mental prayer. Now, it's not always easy. It's not as though we want to be there in feelings. We want to be there with our will, that's for sure. And what gets in the way is not so much that we are tired or that we're not cut out for concentrating a great deal of time, Lord, listening to what you have to say. You know, maybe we excuse ourselves saying, oh, well, you know, my mind flutters from one thing to the next. Those are not obstacles. What really stands in the way is our will. Do I want to follow you, Lord? Do I trust in you, Lord, when you ask things of me? Is my day dedicated to you, Jesus? If I see prayer as a parenthesis to my day, I will have trouble doing mental prayer because I have to break out of a routine and do something quite foreign to how I go about living my life and then snap back into the flow of things. And of course, you know, I put my mind to trying to think about a passage from the gospel. I tried to imitate you in some way, Lord, in some aspect, but my heart's not there because my heart really is immersed in what I am going to do next. Once the prayer is over, then I can get the washing done, do the ironing, make breakfast, whatever it might be. And it's amazing when we are on retreat, so to speak, chores, everyday chores, become so attractive. What beforehand seemed like, you know, oh, drudgery. Now, you know, compared to having to do mental prayer, the washing seems to take on a whole new attraction. Well, you know, I have to do this, be practical, get these. That's why we need to start the day with prayer. And not thinking about, now I have time to sit back. Now I have time to get my head clear. Now I have time to write that shopping list. Or that list of people that I need to really talk to and I need to say these things. And we start to organize our day, which is a wonderful thing to do, but not when we're praying, not when we're with you, Lord. In the same way that when we sit down with someone whom we love and we give them time, we don't look over their shoulder. We don't stare absentmindedly out the window when they're talking because they'll be upset with us. So too in our prayer with you, Lord, we have to dedicate all our effort, all our energies. And even should it be the case that our mind goes totally blank and we don't know what to say or what to do, Lord, we are there with you, which is what really counts. Sometimes we can come away from our prayer thinking, I did a good prayer today. Well, that's wonderful. We give thanks to you, Lord. But there are other times, perhaps nothing occurred to me. Doesn't matter. That was a prayer well done if it was done for God. If our heart was with you. And normally our prayer will go well in our own terms. If we are seeking to live our day with you, Lord, dedicate our day to you and renew that resolution through the day. That's where I need to make that conversion with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I need to pray and to keep praying. And where I do my prayer matters. Lord, you go to a lonely place. We need to go to that lonely place, wherever that might be. Some people like to do their prayer. They wake up in the morning, that's not a problem, but then they stay in bed and they do their prayer in bed. And they're kidding themselves. It's cold outside. We have to brave the cold. Wherever we do our prayer, it can't be in bed. Look, it's a wonderful thing to pray when you're in bed. That's great. But don't make the bed your place of prayer, so to speak. Because then, you know, it'll be half prayer and half dream and then half who knows what. We have to be serious, Lord, in giving you that time. We have to get out of bed. Go to that lonely place. It might be another room. It could be to the church if you have the possibility of being in front of your Lord in the tabernacle. This is the best prayer. But if it's not, you know, because churches are often closed, well, to take a hold of a crucifix, a good picture of Our Lady, make that the focal point. Take out the gospel. Read the gospel of the Mass for the day. And then to ask you, Lord, and with resolutions, using a notebook. These days we have our phones, using notes on the phone, picking up on where we left off last time. And if the Holy Spirit so inspires us, with the odd resolution here or there. We need, and we know, Lord, that we tend to slacken in our pace, to be filled with pride, with wrong-headed ambition. Perhaps we discover something of envy, a lack of charity towards others, or how we are assessing a situation. And as we pray, we become more aware of those things. We see. Sometimes we can be disappointed in ourselves when we realize just how perverse perhaps our intention may have been. Even in good things, there's always a little bit of something else. There's a need for purification. And not to be surprised at when we go looking, we see things. I always think about teenage boys. You know, there's sort of a rule of thumb for how you're going. You know, a teenage boy tends to be quite self-centered and oblivious to all that goes on that is extraneous to his stomach. It's just what a teenage boy is. And if you ask them, you know, have you cleaned your room? And they assure you, yes, I have cleaned my room. Well, that could mean anything. If you ask them, have you cleaned the bathroom? They'll say, yes, I've cleaned the bathroom. Is the shower clean? Yes, of course the shower is clean. And then you look. And when you look, you see that, you know, well, I'd love to know what clean means to you. Because if you could, yeah, it's all right. But when you actually take a look and you say, and this, and this, and that, and that, and this, and this, and you can point to all of the different things. And they go, oh, well, yeah, of course, if you include that. But and the same thing happens in our prayer. We see things inside ourselves. If we didn't pray, if we didn't make examination of conscience, then all would be well. I think so, okay. But when we look, when we see, we realize, well, actually, that particular reaction of pride that I had, that particular lack of concern for that other person, and the list goes on and on, where freely, we have not lived as you have wanted us to, Lord. We shouldn't be surprised, you know, and the garden of the soul, there are many weeds, many things out of place, many things that are wilting perhaps, you know, in need of the waters of grace. And that's why the more we pray, the more we realize we need to pray. Sometimes with our prayer to you, Lord, you know, we'll be filled with enthusiasm and we'll want to do more than we have allocated in terms of time. We'll want to keep going. Those are times when we should not keep going. Because now we're looking for ourselves with the prayer. Now, if I said I was going to pray for 10 minutes it will be. That's it. I finish. If it's half an hour, well, half an hour, but that's it. Not to continue that. We have other things to do. Everything should be done with order. Not to be self-seeking. Because what really matters are those times when we don't feel like praying. Not today. Because it can happen with our prayer that we say to you, Lord, oh, well, you know, when all is well, when the sun is shining, when, you know, it's all very nice. Yes, you know, enjoy the prayer and great start to the day. It's all very good. But then when serious things happen in our life, when there are real problems. The last thing we want to do is prayer. Look, prayer is all very well when things are going well, but now let's get serious. I can't handle prayer at this moment. You know, it's too much on top of all these other things. Then, you know, we start to look for the compensation of McDonald's, or, you know, a big McFlurry or something like that. That's the only thing I can really handle at this moment. Comfort food, that's what people call it. Because there is my rock bottom trust. No, now is when I really do need to pray with faith, with trust in you, Lord. Or other times, perhaps, because we have been slackening a little bit in our prayer and we've given way, we all of us give way from time to time. Then is when we really, really need to pray. And if I don't feel like praying, I think, oh, I just don't want to pray, maybe now is the time for me to double my efforts, redouble them. Double the time, you know, and pray not 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Oh, 10 minutes of prayer was hopeless. I was dry as anything. And pray more. The less I feel like praying, the more I need to pray. More piety. Because you, Lord, provide all the remedies that I need for my soul. And we find ourselves in times of darkness, or we don't understand, all of us. And there are situations, Lord, that you allow. Situations in which perhaps we say, this cannot be. My worldview has shattered. You allow that, Lord. But if we trust in you, you will give us the grace, you will give us what we need. We will understand, perhaps in a more supernatural way. We will be purified in our love. Even for things which in themselves are very good, very supernatural. Perhaps it could be, you know, some particular organization that we feel attached to, or a particular person that we have always looked up to. And then we discover, well, you know, they didn't live up to the expectations we had for them. And there, you know, we have to turn to you, Lord. We have to place our trust in you. Scripture tells us not to place our trust in men or in the princes of men. It's a timely warning. You know, how often it happens in life. You learn from experience that there are people who set themselves up as a flag bearer for a particular cause. But once they achieve a position of responsibility for that cause, they then dump the cause and just go sort of, you know, in inverted commas, mainstream. Happens all the time. All the time. We have to be aware of that. You know, we cannot place our trust in men or the princes of men. Rather, Lord, in you who never let us down, you who are always faithful, even though at times, you know, our worldview will be shattered. Think of our attachment to the internet. For most of us, you know, life is different now that I have, you know, an iPhone, iPad, people have Androids. Try to remember, you know, life only 5 years ago was different. But now it's there, and well, you can check things. Email, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it. Google News, podcasts of this or that, and it's there and it's accessible and we need to know what's going on and we have time free and we're waiting in the queue and woomba. That's where our attention goes. And when we don't have internet, you know, we're even prepared to face all manner of obstacles to try to get that internet. We're on a work camp in Sri Lanka a few months ago and we discovered Wi-Fi in a place, and there are lots of mosquitoes, and it's very humid, and all this. But wow, everyone was there, you know, at 12 o'clock at night, trying to get the Wi-Fi to, you know, to update their Facebook status with some photos of elephants. You know, like, I mean, that's, you know, you're prepared to face anything to have access to that. Am I, at the very least, as dedicated to my prayer as I am to these things. Perhaps before I turn on my phone, before I start to check Facebook, or even while I'm waiting for the thing to load, I could pray a memorare, contemplate some of the mysteries of the rosary, which is a great test of whether or not we are really seeking you, Lord, trying to be contemplatives in the middle of the world. That vocal prayer, those little aspirations, those darts of love that we make through the day, feed that fire, like kindling to that flame that has to be always kept alive, which is then really stoked up when we do mental prayer, when we dedicate exclusively to you, Lord, time through the day. We need to spend at the very least 10 minutes every day just with you, Lord, like so many saints. And St. Jose Maria Escriva says there are no saints without prayer. I remember as a teenager coming across a book that said, you know, because I was trying to do this 10 minutes a day, and all right, sometimes you'd be out at the party, get back very late, or very early as the case may be, and then, oh, I haven't done my prayer. And then, okay, I have to do my 10 minutes of prayer. Okay, then fall asleep. And then I read this book. I was on a work camp, and I came across this book, and it said not only 10 minutes in the morning, but 10 minutes in the afternoon as well. I went, oh my God, you're going to spend the whole day in prayer. You know, it's just like, this is too much. But with time, as we come to know you, Lord, as we come to really trust in you, then we realize we need that time. We need to spend time exclusively with you, Jesus. And if we're generous, if we say, look, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it. And you always, Lord, you reward us. It was so good. The best waste of time is spent with you, Lord, in prayer. How do we get to know someone? By spending time with them, rubbing shoulders with them, working with them. We need to come to know you, Lord, not just as a general outline, like one of those abstract paintings that you see from places, and you know they assure you that this is you, it's your portrait. You go, you have some squiggles. You know, the other day I was with a little four-year-old girl at a person's place, and she was showing me her, you know, the nativity scene. And I made the big mistake of asking her, so is that Jesus? She said, no, that's the Lamb. Oh, okay. Is that Jesus? No. Is that St. Joseph? No, that's Mary. Anyway, the parents told me, no, what you should have said is, explain your drawing to me. Tell me about it. You know, that would have made a lot more sense. But in that sense, you know, that we could be like that with you, Lord. A general outline, but I need to know you, Lord, in detail. Your, above all, your reactions, your inner feelings, your thoughts. As we see in the gospel today, when they bring that man with the withered hand before you, Jesus, and they're all concerned about keeping the rules for the Sabbath, and Lord, you are concerned about that man achieving salvation and being integral, being whole, being healed. And you see the hypocrisy of those who have placed this trap for you, but you know, you say to him, okay, come out into the front. Stretch out your hand, and he's healed. And you point it out to them, Lord. You know, you're grieved, Lord, at their hardness of heart. And we realize, well, we need to imitate those same feelings. You know, if we're upset, it's not that we're upset because people don't take us seriously or that they insult us. We're upset because of their hardness of heart, because they are missing out on your grace. Because we want for them to achieve salvation. And they are cutting themselves off from your grace, Lord, when they move away from the truth. How much of my struggle do I actually share with you, Lord? How often do I turn to you? For how long? When the chips are down, when temptation comes along, do I respond with prayer? Do I at least run to Mary with aspirations? That letter to the Hebrews says, let us be confident in approaching the throne of grace. We shall have mercy from him and find grace when we are in need of help. Our first parents ran away from God when they had sinned. And when we come to the realization that we have been slack, that we have not responded as we should, we too perhaps could be a bit like the family dog. And, you know, it's done what it knows it should not have done, and then it starts to hide, you know, because it's afraid of what's going to happen. Or the kids themselves, you know, or people at work. It's a very common thing. You know, when we've done the wrong thing, we don't want to face the consequences. We run away. We hope it'll all just pass by. And we do the same with our prayer. We don't want to talk to God because we've been naughty. We have to become not like children who run away from their parents thinking they're going to get a smack. We have to be even smaller. When you're dealing with 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds and they've done the wrong thing and they just start crying and they open their hands and they show you what they've done wrong. And that's how we have to be. Always with great confidence in you, Lord. What you want from us is that we be happy, that we achieve salvation. And if we've done the wrong thing, all the more in need we stand of grace, of your understanding. That man who had leprosy, with all the disgust that leprosy can inspire, the smell, the disfigurement, kneels before you, Lord, and says, if you want to, you can heal me. And we come before you, Lord, in the tabernacle with our sins. And sin is ugly. And we say, Lord, if you want it, you can heal me. And you touch us, Lord. You say, I do want to be healed. Especially in the sacrament of reconciliation, we're able to do that. And we come out feeling light, happy. But also in our prayer, many times a day we make those acts of contrition. Lord, I'm sorry, but I'll try again now. I know I've been hopeless. I should have done these simple things that you indicated to me, and I didn't do them, and I didn't want to do them, but now I begin again. And maybe it's, you know, 5 minutes before we go to bed. Lord, I begin again. Okay, the rest of the day I'm going to behave. But we share our life with you, Lord, our ups and downs. And when we pray, that doesn't remove us from the world. It's not as though, as some people who don't know about prayer say, that, you know, they get upset when they see people praying and say, oh, look, do something useful. Go help people. It's like saying, look, go drive your car when they see you at the service station before you've put the petrol in. You know, I'm going to run out of petrol. I need grace. What motivates me to be bothered about other people and not be selfish and just turn in on myself? It's prayer. Our Lady is always in prayer. She who was able to see the events of the day and see the will of God, the hand of God behind those events, and we can do the same when we pray. She is very close to all those around her in a humble way. It's our pride that separates us from the others. Our Lady is able to do that because she prays, because she is able with peace, even though she suffers, but with peace in her soul, sees the bigger picture, knows that all things lead to God. And so it is. She notices the needs of that young couple who are getting married and they run out of wine, and she takes action. She even is able to draw the apostles together again at the darkest hour. She keeps the faith of the church alive. In between your death, Lord, and prior to your resurrection. And again, she is there at Pentecost and gathered in prayer with the apostles. We ask Our Lady that she help us to have that same level of faith, level of trust, belief in prayer, that awareness that we are children of God, friends of yours, Lord, moved by the Holy Spirit. A deeply Trinitarian prayer, which is what Our Lady had. And we need to do the same. And in that way, we will be the souls that you expect of us, Lord. We will live a deeply Christian life that will move so many others by being faithful to prayer.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.